Last week, the UN released a report warning of the long-term effects of climate change on our food supply. And there are growing concerns that climate change will make food insecurity an even bigger problem in parts of the world like Central America.
Places like Honduras and subtropical and tropical places, those places are much more vulnerable to climate change.
Georgine Augustin is a reporter for Inside Climate News covering farming and food production from Honduras.
Honduras in particular, and its neighboring countries, El Salvador and Guatemala, parts of those countries are in what's known as the dry corridor, which is a place with highly irregular rains and rising temperatures that are going to probably get a lot worse pretty quickly with the changing climate.
I asked Georgina about El Rosario, a farming village in Honduras, and what she learned there.
El Rosario is in north central Honduras. It's at what might be considered the edge of the dry corridor. And it's a village of about 500 people, and they are now in their sixth year of drought. And most of these people, I would say all of them, rely on farming for their own food, but to make a living. And this ongoing drought has made that increasingly difficult. And these people are terrified about what's coming. And they understand climate change, but until recently, it's been an abstraction. And now they're really feeling it. It hasn't rained. They can't grow their crops. They can't feed themselves. And now they're wondering what's next, what's around the corner. And in Honduras, in particular, the possibilities are limited for the people who can't afford to leave. It means possibly leaving for cities that are increasingly violent or have been historically violent, actually. So they don't have a lot of options.
You spoke to a farmer in El Rosario called Ronis Martinez about how the drought has affected his crop last summer. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
No sabemos qué va a pasar.
We don't know what's going to happen. Because this year, if we have, how are we going to replace the loss we had last year? Then we would not have a way to plant again. There are no seeds. There's no money to reinvest.
That doesn't sound hopeful at all. What options does Ronis Martinez have, Georgina?
It is not a great situation, that is for sure. But there are some things that farmers can do. They just need a little bit of help. They need help from local government. They could use more help from the U.S., which has lessened its focus on agricultural aid over the last 20 or 30 years. But there are things you can do. You can find ways to harness the water supply a little bit better. You can use drought-resistant seeds. You can improve the organic content of the soil so it's more resilient and holds on to water better. There are things that they can do. But for traditional farmers who have grown corn and beans their whole lives, making changes is very difficult. And part of that has to do with the way that people eat. So this would mean altering their diets. If they were to grow, for example, sorghum, which is more drought resistant, they would have to find ways to incorporate that into their diet, which has traditionally been corn and beans. So it means making changes that might be difficult, and they'll need resources to make those changes.
Georgina, you mentioned how difficult it is for some of these communities to essentially just uproot and go to cities outside of where they live in these rural areas. But we are seeing an increase in migrants from Honduras, from El Salvador, from Guatemala. And we know some of that has to do with the politics in the region and the treatment of women, for example, and gang activity. But does any of it connect to climate change?
It's difficult to connect the dots between climate change and migration, or historically it has been. But increasingly, researchers are surveying people in that part of the world and asking them why they're leaving. And the reason, more often than not, in recent years has been because they don't have enough food. And so you add that on to the complex political situation, the violence, and you have a situation where, you know, people have very few alternatives but to leave. And the World Bank, for example, projects that climate migrants from the region could reach 4 million within a few years. And that's because of a tangle of factors, but among those factors is a lack of food and a lack of ability to grow food.
And Georgina, are there other stories from your reporting that really stood out to you in terms of what's happening on the ground that really exemplify this issue, that really bring it home?
There's the political instability, the economic uncertainty, the violence, the lack of rule of law in rural areas, the lack of resources. But deforestation is actually a very big part of this equation when it comes to agriculture, because in this particular region where I was, it's covered in pine forests, or it used to be, and loggers have cut down those pine forests. And that means more erosion, which means less water, because the soil prevents water, chokes up waterways, and less shade, which drives up temperatures. So you add deforestation to the drought and all of these other factors and mismanagement of the forest, basically. And that's really making conditions very, very difficult for these people.
When climate experts or policymakers around the world look at what's happening in Honduras, do they take any lessons away from that and to potentially apply to other parts of the world that could also be at risk in future decades for this type of food impact on our food supply and climate change?
Until recently, people weren't actually looking at Central America. They were, at least policymakers in the U.S., were more concerned with North Africa and the Middle East and how drought and food shortages might stoke extremism. And it's only, I would say, recently that they have started to look at our neighbors and our partners and our allies in Central America and have started to realize that drought and agricultural problems could ultimately present a security problem. And again, it's very difficult to connect the dots, but they're doing that with more certainty recently.
Georgina Gustin is a reporter for Inside Climate News covering farming and food production. Thanks so much, Georgina.
You're welcome.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.